Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Tulsa Ballet has offered yet another season of firsts, this year with the company's first full-length ballet by commissioned choreographer. But dance fans always eagerly await the last production of the season, off-the-floor creations in Studio K, a whole evening of brand-new dance creations by some of the world's top young choreographers. This year, Tulsa Ballet dancer and choreographer Ma Kong has created Memorias del Viento, a work inspired by a painting from a trip to Portugal. Douglas Lee, resident choreographer of Stuttgart Ballet, has created Septet, a ballet for seven dancers on the theme of submission. And Darrell Grand Moultrie, a choreographer at home with contemporary ballet or musical theater, he was in the original cast of Billy Elliot, has created Box the Outside. Off the Floor Creations in Studio K opens this Friday and continues through Sunday, May 6, with evening performances at 7 and matinees both Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock. Actually, you'll want to move your arrival time up by at least a half hour, as Tulsa Ballet is offering pre-show performances by five different local contemporary dance companies. They'll get underway a half hour prior to Tulsa Ballet's performances. More information about all of that at TulsaBallet.org. My guest today is Tulsa Ballet's Artistic Director, Marcello Angelini. Marcello Angelini, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
This has been a really great season. Of course, the way you finished the season is with this creation of three brand new ballets by really young. And what's interesting this year is all three of these guys are just either finishing their dance careers or still dancing.
Yes, Ma is still dancing, of course. Douglas stopped dancing, I think, a year ago. And Darrell is still active. He's a Broadway dancer. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they are right on the cusp of being... from being dancers to being choreographers, but all of them have been choreographing for many, many years. I mean, those are not young choreographers. Each one of them has a body of works that speaks for their value, really.
And their work is being performed by companies around the world.
Oh, my gosh. Ma Kong next year is going to be so busy that... we had to cut his dancer's contract to basically half of the season because he's going to be doing works all over the country. He's going to Australia to create or stage two or three different works of his. Oh, absolutely.
Now, when you came to Tulsa, I don't know how many years ago it was.
17 years ago.
Yeah, 17 years ago. I know you had big plans, but this Ma is sort of the culmination of one of them, of creating a dancer within your group that actually becomes a choreographer.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you say about the plans, because a year and a half ago, I was cleaning out my files, which I do every decade. I had paper everywhere, couldn't even open the drawers anymore. And so, cleaning out the files, I stumbled upon the first drawing of Studio K, what is now Studio K. At that time, I had this idea that I always wanted to build a small theater inside our facility for concert works, for smaller works, works that don't really work well in a big house. And so this piece of paper on which I drew something was dated 1997. Mm. And it took about 11 years from that first drawing that eventually I showed the architect, the same architect that drew Studio K 11 years later. And from 1997 until the opening of Studio K in 2008, we have been talking about this project and trying to raise money and finding the right time to raise money for this space, and suddenly now it's up and running. And yes, people like Ma Kong now are creating pieces in this space, as well as choreographers from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, time tells the story.
I would think it would be very special as the artistic director of seeing a dancer just sort of blossom like that too.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you knew he had talent from the... I would assume you knew he had talent from the first time you saw him.
Well, you know, it's not just Ma. Ma is the typical example of what I had in mind. When I came to Tulsa, I had a three phases plan. The first phase was to bring to Tulsa all the best choreographers and all the best works that had been done during the past 50 years. I didn't feel that it was right that because of our geographic location, we would be deprived from seeing the same works that an audience member can see in New York or in St. Petersburg or in Paris or in London or in Sydney, anywhere else in the world. You know, I came here and I said, I am going to do the same kind of works that are performed in the major metropolitan areas. That was the first part of the plan. But then, you know, when you do that, it's a little bit like taking money out of the international monetary fund all the time. It comes a time when you grow up that you need to start putting works back into the bank. Because after all, if we are doing works by Killian or by McGregor or by Forsyth, it's because Paris Opera commissioned in the middle somewhat elevated to Billy Forsyth, which made him into a big star choreographer with a huge body of works, and now, you know, he has led the field for so many years. Well, it comes a time that you have to do the same thing. You need to start contributing to the growth of the field. How do you do that? By finding those young, talented voices and giving them the opportunity to create one work after the other. And that's how they mature, how they get better, and that's how eventually the field stays alive and progresses.
Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of Ma's work? Since, you know, he's somebody you see every day around the studio.
Well, you know, but my story is always very interesting because I used to see this guy through the windows of our library that on the other
side, rehearsal space.
The rehearsal space, which is now the stage of Studio K. And I used to have meetings during the lunch break and see this guy in the studio just moving around and doing contortionist stuff. But I mean, very beautiful, very interesting. And so little by little, you know, I start making a point of taking my sandwich in the library with the lights off so he couldn't see me and just observing him. I mean, it was clear the guy had a huge amount of talent. So came the day that I said, you know what, he has talent, he's focused and driven, which tells me that if I give him the opportunity, he's going to create something of substance. And I just took a risk. And boy, the first work for Lear was just phenomenal. And, you know, after that time, it was clear that the guy just needed to create works, needed to experiment, needed to sharpen his skills. And look at it now, 8 years later, I mean, he's doing pieces for companies all over the countries, and I mean good companies, very good companies. And now it just told me that next year his works are going to be presented in Australia. And that's because he's still busy dancing. The day that he stops dancing and he can devote 52 weeks a year to choreographing, I mean, he's going to be all over the world. And he started in Tulsa.
Yeah. And like you were saying, Tulsa Ballet is beginning to put things back into the bank.
Oh, absolutely. But not only with Ma. Works that have been created in Studio K have been performed in France, in Nice. They have been performed in Istanbul by the major opera house, in Germany by the Universal Ballet of Korea. I mean, works created in Tulsa now are being exported all over the world. First, we imported the best of the best. And now we're exporting works for other companies to enjoy and other audiences to enjoy. And I think that's how you build not only the reputation of a company, but the reputation of a community. Every time a piece that has been created in Tulsa is performed somewhere in Seoul, South Korea, well, on the program it says created in Tulsa for Tulsa Ballet. And that's how we get the name of our community out there as a cultural force.
Of course, the two other choreographers that are going to be presenting new works, again, just off a dancing career, actually still dancing on Broadway. So these are incredibly young, but very, very talented with pieces in Stuttgart Ballet, in North Carolina Ballet, you know, all over the country in the case of Daryl and Douglas Lee, a lot of it in European companies.
You see, what I wanted to do, I always try to make this evening as eclectic as possible. And keep in mind that this is the evening that makes me lose hair, because as long as you plan a triple bill or a piece, you know what you are going to put on your stage. Well, with creations, you never know. They are like the Easter egg. You open them and, you know, God knows what you find inside. But if you find the right choreographers, if you work with the right dance makers, usually you get very good results. And I wanted these particular Studio K performances of the floor to be, again, as eclectic as possible, to expose the audience to a wide spectrum of dance and taste of dance. So you have Makong, who grew up in Tulsa, really as a dancer, this huge talent whose skills have been perfected by dancing the works of all the masters that came to Tulsa. Talent plus skills make him this incredibly good choreographer.
Yeah, and it's sort of amalgam because he's taking for everything from Nacho Duato to everything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Whatever he does, whatever he feels, goes through the skills that he has learned through his dancing career. Well, then you have Dorrell. He grew up in New York, Juilliard, modern dancer, with obviously classical background, Broadway. That's a totally different culture. When you talk about him, what we think about him doesn't reflect the works, because the works are very classical, actually, but with an edge, the typical energy edge that the Broadway dancers and the Broadway shows have performance after performance. Every time I go and see a Broadway show, I look at them and I say, I know they have done this show 150, 300 times, but every time it looks fresh and every time the energy is 100%. And that's incredible to see on my company now, because this work is really pushing the energy edge of every single individual performer. And the movements are, yes, classical, neoclassical, but they have this particular edge. So you have the local talent, then the New York guy, and then I wanted to show also what is happening in Europe. Douglas, resident choreographer of Stuttgart Ballet, one of the best companies in the world. If you are asked to choreograph a piece for Stuttgart, well, that's a point of arrival. Well, for Douglas, that was a point of beginning. That's how he started his career.
He was the principal dancer there, just like Ma Kong was here in Tulsa.
At Tulsa Ballet, absolutely. But usually the aim, the aspiration of every choreographer is to be asked to choreograph a piece for Stuttgart Ballet. Well, that's how it began. That's how good this guy is. But his works are very European. So It's a different way of feeling the music and connecting with your feelings. They are more introspective. When you see all three works, one beside the other, they are all so different, but they give you a vision of how dance is developing all over the world, whether it's in Europe or in New York or in Tulsa, but Tulsa influencing also Australia and the rest of the country.
And of course, that's sort of what you've done with your triple bills for years. It's sort of like you're going to say, okay, do this, now go to the other extreme, do this. And this is, I assume, why choreographers like to choreograph on your dancers, because they're very versatile and they're used to sort of making those extreme jumps.
Well, and if they are not interested in going to the edge of their abilities, physical and emotional too, because when you are asked to do works that are so different one from the other, you are always on soft soil. you are never really grounded, you're never really secure. Then they have no business being with our company. But yes, that's what I love to do with my dancers. And that's what I think dance is. That's what I think dancers are. If you love to dance, as long as it's good dance, then you should be able to enjoy anything, whether it's Cinderella or The Sleeping Beauty, or something as extreme as Wayne McGregor that is coming to us, you know, next season, opening the season. He's the resident choreographer of the Royal Ballet. He's the choreographer of the Olympics. and this guy has taken the Royal Ballet to a different place. It used to be a museum company, and now it's a company that is leading in every single branch of dance, whether it's contemporary, classical, new classical productions, him and Christopher Wildon. And Chris, too, comes to Tulsa to do his works.
Now, when you have a choreographer like that who's, he's got the one of the very top, you mentioned it was sort of a museum company, but it was still, that was a level that all top dancers aspired to. Yeah. And, he's now taken to new places. Why the interest in coming to Tulsa? Because, you know, I mean, even with the quality of our company, I mean, you're in London, you have plenty of things to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was telling me that this past year he has created, of course, pieces for the Royal Ballet, then for the Paris Opera. Then he said that he really enjoyed creating a new piece for the Kirov Ballet and restaging Chroma for the San Francisco Ballet. Why? Well, because usually I don't give up very easily. it's interesting, the first communications we had after I talked to his manager and tried to talk to him, and eventually the first time we talked, he said, he asked me to go to San Francisco to see him. He wanted to meet me in person. I sent him materials of the company, DVDs of the company, and he loved the company. But he said, I want to talk to you personally. I'm in San Francisco staging Chroma. Can you come? And so the next morning, we sat one in front of each other for breakfast, and he said, I was fascinated by your determination to get one of my works. And then I looked at your repertory, and I realized that in Tulsa, you have the tier one choreographers in your collection. You have basically everybody pretty much except me. And so I was fascinated by this company in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that is doing the same works that San Francisco Ballet is doing, or the Royal Ballet, or the Paris Opera. And he said that really made me want to talk to you and meet you and ask you how you do it. And yes, absolutely. I am intrigued by this project. And yes, I not only will give you one of my pieces, but I want to make a statement. I want to give you an American premiere, mm-hmm. not a piece that other American companies have done, an American premiere. And he gave us Presentient, which is a work that he created for Rambert Ballet in London that has won a lot of awards, and he has not allowed any other company to do it since its creation in 2000. So it's interesting. That's why I love being in Tulsa. I mean, what we are doing here is defying all the laws of physics.
And all the laws of impresarios, too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, even financially, the Royal Ballet is probably the wealthiest company, the second wealthiest company in the world, with a budget of 150 million euros. Paris Opera is a quarter of a billion euros. Yeah. Our budget is nowhere. And even San Francisco Ballet, $40 million, you know. And here is the same person. And he's coming to Tulsa for the performances. Huh? He's not just giving us the ballet. He already came here to see the company. He loved the company. And then he's sending somebody to stage it because he's busy with the Olympics. And then he's coming for the performances.
My guest today is Marcello Angelini, Artistic Director of Tulsa Ballet. Three new creations will be taking place this weekend and next, off the floor, creations in Studio K. You'll have a great number of chances to see it Friday through Sunday this week and Wednesday through Sunday next week. And Marcello Angelini is my guest today. Now, you were talking about, you know, losing hair over these three world premieres. And I can imagine you have three different choreographers. They're working at various different times, creating brand new work, but you also did your first world premiere outside choreographer of a full-length ballet, which is probably just as nerve-wracking. Which was more, Edward Liang setting Romeo and Juliet as a world premiere, or these three sort of world premieres?
Edward Liang.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Romeo and Juliet took the air out of us for quite a while. I mean, it was extremely successful, and Edward did a phenomenal work. But the process of creating a brand new full length is very complicated, especially when you are tackling a story like Romeo and Juliet that has been transformed into ballet so many times, and there are three or four extremely successful productions that you are always going to be compared to. Again, in the end, it worked out extremely well. Wynne McGregor was here to see Romeo and Juliet, and mm-hmm. he was stunned by the company. And the editor-in-chief of Dance Magazine, which is the most prestigious magazine about dance in the world, came here to see it and gave us a wonderful, wonderful review about the company and the choreography. So that one, yes, that one was a complicated affair.
Now give us a sense of how these three choreographers, they're not in town at the same time, so they sort of come in at different times, right, up until probably the week of the show?
Well, if they were all in town at the same time, I would have to commit suicide. Too much creativity for an old man.
But is there any cross-pollination at all? Because, I mean, you have all these three different styles. They're all, you know, being set at the time, or are they pretty much set in their own ways?
Each one of them comes at a different time. Ma, because he's here with the company, he uses all the entire year. Whenever he has a moment, you know, he takes some dancers and he has a little bit more time, but it's also more complicated for him because he doesn't have a 2 weeks period that he can just focus on creating. For the rail, it's 2 weeks. Everybody then gets 2 weeks. They come here for 2 weeks. The company is there for 2 weeks. I welcome them in the studio the first day. I spend the first day in the studio looking at what they're doing. Once I feel at peace with myself, then I leave and I go back 2 weeks later expecting to see a run through, which never happens. but usually because they know that at the end of the second week the ballet has to be finished, they usually get very, very close. The most interesting phase of the creation evening is the week before the shows, because everybody's in town and everybody's trying to put the finishing touches to their pieces, and everybody wants the dancers for a certain amount of time. But again, not being San Francisco Ballet with 100 dancers... It's basically everybody's using the same dancers. So they are fighting about who gets who for a half an hour, and I need this for 15 minutes, and no, I need this for an hour, no, I need to finish this piece. And that's when it gets very exciting.
But of course, you know, what is this, the fifth year of this? And it, you know, always comes together, and you always see this incredible amalgam of work, whether you were doing the Tango Night or, you know, some of the other thematic elements, the Mediterranean Night. This one, I don't think there's a theme. It's just three great creations.
Yes, they usually come together because it takes a little bit of time to find the right people, the right choreographers, and talking with them and analyzing their style and seeing if it's complementary of each other or if it's different enough to create contrast, which is what I'm doing this year. But we do give ourselves a little bit of leeway, because by telling all the choreographers that 2 weeks before the premiere everything has to be done, we still have 2 weeks to spare in case things are not totally finished and polished.
Yeah. And I think it sounds like you have three very different choreographers, so you're going to see three very different styles and three complementary styles. It sounds like Douglas Lee's work is more on the emotional side, perhaps? I mean, along with, you know, looking beautiful, but...
Yes, absolutely. It's more introspective. Even the
won't be so flashy.
No, not flashy, but it's one of those pieces that is going to drag you onto the stage. The movements, the physicality of it is very, very special. And then you have the rail that is just really off the floor and off the wall, energy and people jumping and coming in and coming out and you know, very, very energetic. And then the Makong's piece is kind of romantic and, you know, soothing. I mean, very, very, very beautiful piece. So, yes, they are very different, but they will complement each other. I still don't know which one is going to open and be in the middle until I see all the three pieces finished. I will not have an idea. And now the marketing department is breathing on my neck, saying, we need to know which one opens, which one closes. Well, I haven't seen them. How can I tell you guys?
Well, you know, we're chatting ahead of time. And before we started, you were just finding out the titles. You've just found out what the titles are. I mean, that's probably one of the more difficult things, is getting a title out of these choreographers, because, you know, it's just a creation to them for the most part, unless they have a real thematic story at the heart of it.
Well, you know, the dancers, choreographers, people that in my art form, we are not very good at talking, at putting into words our feelings and our thoughts. So usually the title is the most difficult thing for a choreographer to come up with, because steps, yeah, that's normal. That's what we do. That's how we communicate. But words, they don't come that easily.
Well, we do have titles now. Ma Kong's is called Memorias del Viento. Mm-hmm. What was that, Wind Memories?
Memories of the Wind.
Douglas Lee's is Septet, a ballet for seven dancers, a ballet on the theme of submission. And then Darrell Grand Moultrie's piece is Boxing the Outside, which sort of sounds interesting. Do these relate to the piece in any way from what you've been able to see of them?
Well, Darrell described that everybody always talks about thinking outside the box. And for him, the secret is that once you are able to think outside the box, then you box whatever is outside the box and make it part of your box. And that's the theme of his piece, because what he's doing is pushing the dancers again in areas where they are not really comfortable, on the edge of their technical and stylistical abilities, and he hopes that eventually they will be able to box this new vocabulary and make it part of who they are.
You mentioned that his work has that classical ballet foundation, but it's also a lot of Broadway style movements. I assume that sort of flashiness of
No, absolutely not. It's the what he has the energy of the Broadway dancing, not the flash movements. I mean, it is flash enough. It's exciting. It's very exciting. The music is exciting. It's fast and furious in certain parts. And then there are some very nice subtle duets. But no, it's not flashy. Oddly enough, he doesn't do flashy works.
But they have that sort of energy that you come to see in a Broadway show.
Yes, absolutely.
And before you go, we should mention you're doing something new this year for the Creations in Studio K. You've sort of extended your invitation beyond Tulsa Ballet to other groups in the area.
Yes, you know, when we built Studio K, one of the purposes was to make this space really a space for dance, the destination for dance in the city of Tulsa, for edgy dance, contemporary dance, modern dance. And so I have been looking around, and there are so many companies that are emerging everywhere in the city. I mean, the dance scene in Tulsa is experiencing a renaissance. And I love to think that part of the merit is also because Tulsa Ballet is doing so well. And so this year, we publicized that we were seeking applications from local dance companies to perform with us. Obviously, small companies, they struggle to emerge. They struggle to attract an audience. They don't have enough money for marketing, and it's very expensive for them to perform. They need to rent a theater, a lighting designer. That all costs a lot of money. And I thought, what about if we allow them to perform with us in front of our audience, exposing them to our audience, showing our audience that there is more dance coming up in Tulsa, and also giving them the space for free. So we advertised it, and sure enough, we got a lot of applications, and we selected five companies, great companies, that are going to be the master of ceremonies for our shows. Half an hour before our performance officially starts, which will be at 6:30 or at 1:30 in the afternoon, those companies will take the stage and they will do a 15-20 minute long piece, so that anybody that wants to come earlier to experience the other side of dance in Tulsa, they are all welcome. They can watch the pre-show, then they can take a 10-15 minutes break, and then they will come back and our show will begin. And I hope that many of our subscribers and single ticket buyers will take this opportunity to really come and see what is happening in Tulsa, because it's quite phenomenal. It's quite phenomenal. Lots of great companies emerging, doing leading edge work, different from what we are doing, but very, very valid works.
And interesting. That's sort of the next step for the company, is to sort of be this leading edge for broader dance throughout the community.
Absolutely. Not only in Tulsa, but in the entire state of Oklahoma. We are the largest company in the state of Oklahoma. And, you know, when you grow up, then you need to start taking responsibility for everything that is around you. And that's where we are. We are grown up now, and we need to help the art of dance, the art of ballet, succeed in our community and in our state.
And I guess you call the Tulsa Ballet for ticket information, right?
Absolutely.
Marcello, as always, a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining
us.
Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director Marcello Angelini previewing Off the Floor Creations in Studio K, which get underway this Friday at 7 and continue through Sunday, May 6, with matinees Saturday and Sunday at 2, evening performances at 7, with a half hour of Pre-show performances by five different local contemporary dance companies getting underway a half hour prior to the performance. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.